Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started 2 weeks ago talking about prayer. I've entitled this series, A Better Way to Pray. And I tell you, I've covered some very, very important things. And today we are getting to the primary purpose of prayer. This is really the heart of the teaching that I'm sharing on prayer. And I believe that this is going to be a tremendous blessing to you. And so we have this book distributed in secular bookstores, Christian bookstores, as well as through our ministry here. And I'm really excited about the potential for change in people's lives and the body of Christ as a whole through this teaching. So I've already covered a lot of material. I hadn't got time to go back through that. But let me say that today I'm getting to what is the primary purpose of prayer. I spent the first 2 weeks countering religious concepts about prayer and abuses of prayer. And I'm actually modeling this from Jesus. Because when Jesus taught on prayer in Matthew chapter 6, the very first thing he did was say, don't pray like the hypocrites pray. They love to pray. And then he talked about the wrong uses of prayer. So before he taught what prayer was, he taught what prayer was not. And basically, that's the approach that I've taken. I spent the first 2 weeks countering what I believe just religious concepts and religious tradition on the subject of prayer. And I think that that's just essential. So we've already done that. Today, we're talking about what is the real purpose of prayer? What is the main purpose, the primary purpose of prayer? And I tell you, this is going to be really simple when I say this. And some of you might miss the importance of it because it is so simple. It is so obvious. But let me just emphasize that I think that this is missed by the vast majority of people. Most people use prayer for anything and everything other than what God really intended it to be. So let me start this by just asking you a question. If you would be honest right now, and if you could be objective and not say what you think is the right thing to say, but be honest and just say, what is the primary focus of your prayer life? What do you spend the most time doing in prayer? I want you to think about that, and in your own heart, just answer that question. And you know what? If you would be like I was at one time in my life, and also like I feel most people who come to me and are asking me to pray and agree with them, if you are like the majority of the people that I minister to, then I think your answer to that question would have to be that you spend the majority of your prayer time either repenting and asking forgiveness and asking God for mercy, or you spend the majority of your time asking God to provide needs, to help you overcome something, to help you emotionally get out of some problem, to help you in a relationship, to help you in your job, to help you get a better job, to help you have more money to get things. That is what most people use prayer for. They use it either to approach the Lord as, oh God, I'm so sorry, I failed you again, and how could you love me? Or they intercede and ask God to help them get things that they feel are necessary. And that's what most people use prayer for. And let me just be real honest here and upfront and say that there is a place for that type of prayer. For instance, there's many scriptures on this. But in James chapter 4, the scripture says, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. In John chapter 16, Jesus said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. There is a place to ask and petition God in prayer. And so I'm not saying that that is totally wrong. But here's what I am saying. It is wrong to make that the focus or the primary purpose of prayer. That is not what prayer is about. Prayer is not a way for you to approach God and petition Him and get your needs met primarily. That is one function of prayer. And yes, there are scriptures that talk about that. But if that is your focus in prayer, I'm going to say some things right here that I'll spend the rest of this week trying to explain. And so I really encourage you to listen and track with me through this, or either get the materials, because you may not get the full impact of what I'm saying right here without the explanation. I'll be explaining it later in the week. But if the primary purpose of prayer is for you to ask God to supply your needs, to heal your body, to give you joy, to give you peace, to heal relationships, to help you advance, to help you overcome this temptation, to repent and ask God for forgiveness for the things that you've done, if that is what your prayer life centers around, then that is one of the leading causes of defeat in your life. And I know that some people may be shocked by this and say, well, I just don't understand. Isn't that what prayer is for? No. Now, that is a purpose of prayer, but it is not the primary purpose of prayer. And if you make that the focus of your prayer, if you were to take the amount of time that you pray, and if you could just have someone else listen to you, and when you pray, categorize it and write it down. All right, you spent this much time praising God and thanking Him. You spent this much time worshiping the Lord. You spent this much time interceding for others. You spent this much time asking for yourself. You spent this much time repenting. You spent this much time griping, complaining, and all of the other things that we do. If somebody else could document your prayer life and ascribe a percentage amount of time to it, I can guarantee you the majority of people would have the majority of their prayer time taking up with repenting and asking for some type of need to be met. And the only exception to this, and really it's not a different thing, it's just a little variation of it, is that if you are really spiritual, and if you are what is quote-unquote considered a mature Christian today, then the vast majority of people would spend the majority of their time not just asking for their own sins to be forgiven and their own needs to be met, but then you would become an intercessor and you would spend huge amount of time asking God to move in other people's lives and to supply their needs. And, oh, God, forgive them. And, oh, God, forgive this nation. That is the bulk of prayer. I know that there was a period of time in my life that this is what it was all about. And I just was constantly approaching God with my needs. It was like when you go into prayer, it's like you go into a supermarket in heaven with your little grocery cart and you are asking God to give you this and give you this and, oh God, I need this. And that's what you do. It's like when you go to the store, you're there to get something. You're there to get a need met. And in a sense, that's what a lot of people do in prayer. They just go to God in prayer and it's all about, oh God, I have all of these needs. There is nothing that I can offer you, but you can offer me everything, and you spend your whole time petitioning God. Here's another question for it. Let me ask you this. If you would remember back about teaching that you have on prayer, what are most of the teachings on prayer entitled? It's something about how to get your prayers answered, how to receive from God, how to get God to save your mate, how to pray for revival. Did you know all of those things? And again, there is a place for those things, but every one of those things I mentioned is all about how to get God to do something. And that's what most people think prayer is all about, is a way to motivate and move God. There is a small segment of prayer that may be concerned with that, but that cannot be the primary purpose of prayer. The primary purpose of prayer is not to ask God to supply your needs. It's not to repent. It's not to intercede for other people and ask God to supply their needs and repent for them and beg for an outpouring of God's Spirit. Now, if that's not the primary purpose of prayer, well, then what is it? Here's the statement I'm making that is so simple, you're going to have somebody to help you to misunderstand this. But I can guarantee you, most people have not viewed this as the primary purpose of prayer. In a nutshell, I believe that the number one use of prayer, the focus, the heart of it, the vast majority of your time in prayer ought to be spent loving God, fellowshipping with God, and worshiping Him and thanking Him. It's all built around relationship, intimacy with God. Now, again, that's a very simple statement. And many people are probably thinking, oh, I thought you were going to have some great revelation. That is a great revelation. That's awesome. That is wonderful. And I'm going to spend the rest of this week trying to emphasize this and going through different scriptures to prove this to you. But I'm telling you that this is not the experience of most people. Most people are not focused on God and loving Him and blessing God in their prayer life. They are instead focused on themselves. Here's another way of saying it is that most people's prayer is actually selfish. It's all about us. It's all about us getting something. We are using God as, you know, just someone who is there to meet our every need, and we pray. And if we don't get the things that we've been praying for, then we get angry and upset with God and frustrated with God and don't understand why God hasn't done things. You know, I really dislike that attitude. I have a lot of people come up to me and they are expressing bitterness or sometimes out and out anger at God because something they needed didn't get manifest. And I've had people come to me and say, I'm mad at God. I'm upset with God. Boy, I just do not relate to that at all. And I know some of you may be shocked and say, well, God's failed me. No, God's never failed anybody. I tell you, one of the reasons that people come up with attitudes like that is because you never have entered into a relationship where it's all about Him and thanksgiving to Him for the awesome things He's done for you. You really don't have a personal, intimate relationship with God, but instead you use God and you view prayer as just a way to kind of twist the arm of God and how you can make God come through, how you can make the power of God work. And your selfish attitude, your self-centeredness is totally intact. And so when something doesn't go your way, and I guarantee you, we're living in a fallen world, not where God controls everything. It doesn't mean that every problem you have in your life comes from God. But we live in a fallen world where there are going to be problems come your way. You are going to have hardships that are not ordained of God, and you can't just wish them all away, and there's going to be things happen. And if it's all about you, and if you're only thinking about, but God, I wanted this new car, and God, I want this new dress, and God, I wanted this MP3 player, and I want this DVD thing, and I wanted this mate, and I don't like this mate, I want another mate. And if your life is centered around you using God to just satisfy every whim that you've got, then you know what? You are going to have bitterness in your life. I can understand how that comes if you are a self-centered person and you aren't truly worshiping God. But you know, when you get to the place to where salvation impacts you to such a degree that you are so thankful to God for what He's done, that the primary purpose you use prayer for, the number one thing, the focus of your prayer life is just thanksgiving and worship for what He's done. When you get that attitude and you go to loving Him and you make Him your number one thing that you love. You love God more than you love yourself. You love God more than you love your house, your car, your mate, your things that you're praying for. When your love is focused on God and you have this intimate relationship with God, there's a number of things happen. One of them is that, you know what, your whole priority system just transforms. There are many of you that have this list of all of these things that you need God to do. And you know what? That list would totally change, probably be thrown in the trash if you just first of all loved God, not for what He did, not what He can do, all of the things that He could help you accomplish, but if you just loved Him because He is a good God. And instead of giving us what we deserve, He's provided us with forgiveness. And if you had an intimate, close relationship with God, did you know things that are so important to you right now wouldn't be important? You know, I just got back from a third world country and I saw people living in poverty. I saw people living on the dirt floor, living in ways that most people in the United States, across Europe, most of the world are living better than that. And yet I met some of those people who just were happy, loved God, excited. You know what? You don't have to have a $500,000 home. You don't have to drive a Mercedes-Benz or a Lexus to be able to be happy. You can be happy just in your personal relationship with God. And there's many people that have lost sight of that. They have become so focused. They are focused on all of the things that they're wanting and believing for and trying to get ahead and all of these things that they have lost the focus. They aren't making the main thing the main thing. That's what I'm trying to say, that prayer is not about primarily, there is a place for it, but it is not primarily about you getting your needs met. It's not about you being able to accomplish some goal. It's not about you interceding and helping other people get their needs met and accomplish goals. But the number one purpose of prayer ought to be for personal relationship with God, just hanging out with God, building relationship with Him, enjoying His presence, letting Him minister to you. And if you would make that the focus of your prayer, your whole priority system would change. Your contentment level would explode. I was just reading an article not long ago about burnout and how you can overcome burnout. And of course, this was in a secular thing that I was reading. It was a psychiatrist doing it. And they had some good points in there. But you know, I don't know how to express this. Their answers, their analysis of what the problem is so shallow. They're saying that, you know, we're under all of this stress and that we need to change our lifestyle. And they gave you these little exercises to do to cope with it. And I thought, it is just rubbish, the thing that I'm reading. If they would just get into relationship with God. And you know, if you haven't experienced what I'm talking about here, it may be hard for you to relate to what I'm saying. I may be saying things that it's just like you can't relate to this. There's no way to grab hold of it. But I'm telling you, this is my personal testimony, that when you get in the presence of God, when you are looking at God, it's like looking at the sun, and it is so bright that when you look in any other direction for a period of time there, you know, you just can't see anything. You're blinded. And in a sense, that's what happens. When you spend time in the presence of God, you just become blinded to all of the things that are bothering everybody else. You know, we used to sing in the church that I grew up in. We had a song that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I'm telling you that if we were to use prayer first and foremost to just love God, to worship Him, to thank Him, to tell Him how much we appreciate Him, and if we were in union and communion with God, then you know what? When somebody comes along and criticizes you over something, you wouldn't fall apart like a $2 suitcase, because you know what? Regardless of what this person says, it doesn't matter if it's your mate or if it's your child or if it's your boss, in comparison to God, they are nothing. In comparison to God, their opinion doesn't amount to that much. Now, I'm not saying that I don't love my mate and I don't love other people and I'm not concerned about things, but I'm saying in comparison to God, it's like if you have looked at the sun, then you know what? Looking at something else, everything pales in comparison to that. If you were to use prayer not just to satisfy your needs and to get your needs met primarily, there's a place for it, but if you were to use prayer primarily to relate to God, you would be so full of the love, the joy, and the peace of God that when criticism from other people come, this comparison, it would be so obvious that it would lose its sting. It would lose its bite. You wouldn't be so bothered about whether you got the new house, the new car, whether you got this. It wouldn't matter if you were believing God for a mate and if things weren't working out in your relationship. You know what? Compared to God, God Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, loves you. And if you were to lose the person that you thought you were supposed to be with the rest of your life, you still would have God. And you know what? You could rejoice and you could still maintain your equilibrium. You could still be blessed and productive and joyful and happy even in the midst of a relationship failing. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. When you are in the presence of God, Psalm 16:11 says, "In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." If you don't have fullness of joy, you are not enjoying the presence of the Lord. If you do not have pleasures forevermore, I mean everlasting pleasures, not just something temporary that ceases and evaporates the first little bit of trouble that comes. But I mean, if you don't have a deep, abiding joy in your life, you are not using prayer primarily to fellowship with God. You may be calling out in desperation and asking God to help, but I'm telling you, there is something wrong in our focus. Relationship with God is the number one primary purpose of prayer. Man, that's powerful. You know, I'm going to be building on this all week long, and I'm going to be sharing some things with you that I guarantee you this will change your life. This will change your focus, and the results you get out of this will be tremendous.
Andrew's teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The third audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this third teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY23 titled The Primary Purpose of Prayer When You Write or Call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month. And you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I had a chemical accident in a factory that was a very toxic, a high concentration of glue fumes, which ruined the mucous membrane in my lung. This actually happened in Guangzhou, in the Guangdong province in the southern part of China.
In 2003, the SARS virus spread from Guangdong province to 37 countries worldwide. 774 deaths resulted, causing widespread panic. There is no cure.
That my immune system had deficiencies because of this toxic incident. So I got extremely ill. When I came back to Denmark, I was hospitalized, but it just grew worse and worse and worse. My muscles were just dissolving, and I thought, like God was a million miles away. I grabbed the phone, called my father, and said, this is simply going the wrong way. I don't know what to do. God is definitely not in my life. And by my father, in the home, my parents, there was a preacher called Klaus Müller. And my father immediately just took the phone and gave it to him and said, please, Klaus, talk to my son. He's in trouble. He grabbed the phone and just started praying with me. And after he prayed, he said, try to see if you can go onto the website and download some of the material from Andrew Womack Ministries, because I think that will really help you. But you must understand that in that point of time, I was struggling disbelief, because I thought that I had prayed to God for protection and no protection was there. Of course, I was skeptical, but I did go on the internet and I did download some of the files. Of course, you can probably guess which one, because it was how to receive a miracle, because that was what I needed in divine intervention into my life.
How do you receive a miracle from God? One of the first things is to recognize that miracles are not just hit and miss. You never know whether they're going to work or not. You can tap into a miracle. You learn the laws of God. You learn how the things work. You do it, and you can receive your miracle from God. You can see God move in your life.
It changed my life a lot. It gave me a lot of guidelines. It gave me, I don't know if it's the right word, but spiritual weapons to fight the disease. One thing that I really got out of the teachings of Andrew was the fact that the word, God's word, is really the seed for the changes I was in need of and really desiring. So what I said to myself is, was that this is really something I need a big dose of. And the way I did it was that I took an MP3 player and then I took the teaching into the MP3 player. So then I could bring it with me all around. Everywhere I went, I could simply go on my MP3 player and simply choose the challenge I had and find specific teaching on how to battle what I had. This is blessings and miracles, and of course Christian philosophy and Christian survival kit. And there are many, many different teachings of Andrew's which I can simply browse through and find what I need. All this stuff I took and put it into my MP3 player. And then I could listen to it while working, while being weak in bed, while being in transport in the car or whatever. And I simply started listening to this over and over again. And slowly it started changing the way I was thinking, the way I was acting, and the way I was handling my disease. I'm still battling the disease, but I'm definitely in another position now. From the teaching which I obtained from these MP3 files by Andrew, suddenly the word in the Bible talks to me in a completely different way. It's difficult to put word to, because it's a completely new way of living with God, knowing God's love, knowing what I already have instead of struggling my way to get it, and then build relationship with the Lord.